Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Can we be there?
Ah, we are here.
Oh, just think of the time.
You don't have to do that. It is right here. It is right now.
Caught in love so strange. Said you never know.
How you doing today on a Friday, Brandon Ray Stokely?
I'm doing good. What is going on?
Oh, a whole heck of a lot, my friend. A whole heck of a lot.
A lot.
For the first time in the history of Denver sports, the Broncos, the Avalanche, the Nuggets, and the Rockies all have action on the same day.
How about that?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's really cool.
I know the Broncos aren't playing a game, but it's really day one of truly training camp.
That's right. And we'll be catching up with D-Mac here later on in the show, getting his thoughts on training camp, which I can't wait to hear. I'm going to be out there Monday.
Yes.
And so I'm looking forward to that. And we got action going on. We got the Avs about to start here. Nuggets are rolling. Kind of surprised to see that they're actually playing some guys. Not sure what's going on there. I thought they wanted to rest them. So we'll see how it plays out.
You can do both at once.
You can. You can rest and play.
Millsap, Jeremy Grant, Nikola Jokic.
They're all playing.
Jamal Murray. They're all playing. They're in a two-possession game with the Toronto Raptors. We do not have that available to us here in the studio, but what we do have is playoff hockey.
That's right.
The Avalanche up 1-0 on the Coyotes. That game is going to be getting started here in the next 5 or 10 minutes. Cannot wait to see what we get out of these boys today. I'm super excited. And then we have the Rockies tonight, and you know who they're going to see again tonight?
Who are they going to see again tonight?
A man named Lynn.
Lynn.
Remember?
Jeremy?
No, not Jeremy Lynn. I'm talking about Lance Lynn, the opening day starter that the Rockies just could not solve against the Rangers on opening day. The frustrating experience of opening day, the 1-0 baseball game where David Dahl was the only player to register a hit.
That Lynn.
That Lynn.
Ooh.
So we will see. You got the rookie on the mound again tonight, Ryan Castellani, who was perfect.
Can't wait to see him again.
Yeah, that was cool. That was really cool. So we have a ton going on. We're going to hear from Vic Fangio.
Coach.
Going to hear from the old ball coach.
All right.
We're going to hear from Kareem Jackson. Things were happening out at practice today. Things were happening. It's all, you ever see the movie Almost Famous?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's with Lady Gaga.
Not quite.
And Bradley Cooper? That's not that one?
That is, what was that one? A Star is Born.
Oh, no, I really like that one.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, Almost Famous. No, I think I missed that one.
Dude, it's a great movie. I recommend it. But there's a phrase in that movie from Penny Lane. Shout out to everyone who's seen that movie. Yeah, Steven, you ever seen that movie? Almost Famous? No? John, Almost Famous? No? You don't even know what's going on. It's all happening. That was the phrase. It's all happening. It's all happening, and it is all happening. We're going to hear from Vic Fangio here shortly, but he was talking about the urgency and the focus being impeccable today out at UC Health Training Facility.
Well, that's great. I mean, that's how you want to start it off, especially first real day out there, getting going. You're done with all these ramp-up acclimation periods, and now you're practicing, and it's real football. You're going to start putting these pads on, and the season's right around the corner here. It's right here.
I mean, truly, we're already through after today, the second week of August.
That's right.
I mean, goodness, Monday Night Football here is.
When's the opener?
It's in
September
14th.
Okay.
So exactly 30 days from today, the Broncos will be the very last game on the NFL schedule to kick off.
How about that?
You get the whole spotlight to yourself. The whole NFL world, and since it's week one, you know, even folks on the East Coast will stay up for that one because that'll start at 10:10. It's scheduled to start 10:10 East Coast time. Thank you, Stephen Priest.
My food is here today.
You got your food today.
My food is here today.
What a debacle yesterday. What a debacle. It turned out great.
I think what happened was that the guy didn't deliver it, or he delivered it to the wrong place. I don't think anybody stole it.
You've come around a little bit from yesterday.
Yeah, just
yesterday,
the more you're thought about
fingers.
It. Well, I have to. You know, you try to shake the trees a little bit, see who's going to buckle, right? See who's going to start sweating once you start pointing the finger at him. And everybody was calm, cool, and collective. I still haven't shaken out Johnny over there in the middle office right over there.
Yeah.
I haven't got my eyes on him, though, a little bit. But I think that's what happened, that the delivery guy might have just put it in the wrong spot.
Or he was super hungry.
Maybe so. If he'd have just asked, I said, you could have it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just don't leave me hanging. At least let me know that I'm not getting food.
That's right.
Right? But it's all good. Got it today. So that's good news.
It is great news. You want to know what else is great news? And I almost, in a bizarre way, can't believe I'm going to say this. But apparently, what?
Why, somebody, RamosLaw.com text line, why hasn't Stokely seen any movie ever?
Almost Famous is a good one.
Yeah.
You and your wife would love that movie.
I think she saw it just without me.
It's really good. It's probably 20 years old at this point.
Oh, really?
I mean,
maybe I did see it and just forgot about it.
Early 2000s, something like that. Great movie. The actress in there, very famous.
Kate Winslet.
That's not Kate Winslet. You're just throwing stuff out there. You're such a knucklehead. Oh, my gosh. I said, I can't believe I'm about to say something, but apparently, you know who's making plays out there at practice today? Bryce Callahan.
Yeah, I heard.
You heard?
I heard.
Who'd you hear from?
D-Mac.
Is that right? Was he tweeting about it?
No, he was on with Sandy.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah, no, I was listening. He said he was out there feeling good, making some plays, so... That's great news. Great. That's kind of what we expected.
Is it?
I expect him to be out there going full speed and competing for a starting spot. Yes. Why is it not what we should be expecting from Bryce Callahan right now? He should be completely healthy. And that's what they told us. We saw a video of him. Looked great.
Yes.
So I'm expecting him to go out there and show why the Broncos paid him the money that they did.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
It would be.
A year late, but an arrival. You know what Bryce Callahan's trying to be? Fashionably late.
That's right. We're cool with that.
Hey.
Nothing wrong with that. We'll take it. Better than nothing. Better than no showing us.
You know, I'm okay with it. But I said that I'm almost, you know, a little bit surprised that I'm saying this because I didn't know if Bryce Callahan was ever going to play for the Broncos. Sincerely. You start talking about, you know, who was the last Denver Bronco we had real promise with that was going through multiple surgeries on the same thing?
Well, I don't think, you know, it was nothing that was major. Well, I think what it was is, you know, obviously it was bad luck last year. Got the foot stepped on, got the screw, and then tried to fight through it and should have just had the surgery to repair it then and get everything fixed then, and he probably would have been back for the second half of the season. Probably.
I mean, you know who it sounds like you're talking about and the direction I was trying to go? Shane Ray. An incidental hand caught in a jersey on day one of training camp. He rips his hand, wasn't supposed to be a big deal, gets the surgery. He was supposed to be back. And then for some reason, there was something with the tendons, had to get a second surgery. Second surgery turns into a third surgery. Third surgery turns into, you're out of the league.
Yeah.
And for Bryce Callahan, there was the surgery, then there's a screw in there, accidentally, happenstance, gets stepped on, cracks the screw, needs more surgery. He's doing the injection of the platelets that I taught you about and all that. The fusions.
Yes.
Yes,
you taught me about it. You schooled us all up. Just, I would say to you, stick to your National Geographic stuff.
Okay.
Because you're actually spot on with that stuff.
Okay.
You know nothing about the spinning of the blood.
The platelets, man.
Yes.
You got to separate the good platelets from the
bad blood platelets. Yes.
The healing platelets from the non-healing platelets.
Yes, yes, that's what happened.
But I mean, I'm being sincere when I said I just didn't know if this kid was ever going to play for the Broncos. And so, as far as good news on Friday, August 11th, this is good news. This is good news for the Denver Broncos.
It is. Certainly good news. Looking for a player or two opposite of A.J. Boye.
Yeah.
Slot corner.
Yep.
Nickel corner and an outside guy. So certainly he'll be in the mix, and I expect him to probably, you know, Vic's the one that talked about it. We're going to see him on the football field.
Yeah.
He'll be somewhere, whether it's be inside the nickel role, covering the slot wide receiver, or playing some outside. I think, you know, if they could get him to play outside, he could play out there, and they can count on him and trust him, then I think that's where they'd love him to be.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. This is, by the way, this is Vic's guy. They came from Chicago to Denver together.
We're getting some good ones here, and I was going to say it, but I was just biting my tongue trying to be nice today on a Friday. And
be nice. Continue to do that.
No, but it's not from me. It's from somebody else. It's from the RamosLaw.com text line. But they're good.
But if you're relaying they're good and they're not funny. Niceness,
it's funny.
You're the vessel of the not niceness.
You know, better late than never, right? And, you know, just a bunch of people better than Juwan James in us.
Oof. So, yeah, I mean.
Didn't come from me. This is on the RamosLaw.com text line.
I'm just relaying
my
the
hands
message.
Are clean.
Right. I washed my hands of this.
That's right.
Nero.
Not on me.
Yeah.
Not on me. That's on our great listeners.
But back to 2017, the reason that Vic Fangio got this job, obviously on the heels of a terrific career as a defensive coordinator, but the Bears defense in 2017 was one of the best defenses like you'll ever see in a single season. With that offense, they were 12-4. They had 37 turnovers. I've never heard of that many turnovers.
Yeah, they were unbelievable.
Like, all time. It was an all-time defense. Unfortunately, they didn't have the offense to go along with it. Even a modest, respectable offense to score enough points to win games.
Did you say it was the 11th today?
That was the 14th.
You said it was the 11th.
Did I say it was the 11th?
You must have, because I didn't catch it, but of course, our RamosLaw.com texters caught it.
Keep me accountable.
Yep.
They're doing your dirty work.
Yes.
You're doing their dirty work.
Right.
And they're right. Doing yours.
Usually I catch you when you do that, and I win something because you deny it. You deny it. No, I did not. I said it was the 14th.
I'm ready to say that now.
Right. You can't. I'm just telling you. But today's not the 11th. It's August 14th, Zach, my mom's birthday. That's from Rich.
Happy
Zach,
birthday.
Zach, today is Friday,
Rich's
August
mom.
14th, not the 12th. Somebody thought you said the 12th.
What is happening here?
It's
okay.
14th, Zach, payday, baby. How about that one? I love it. There you go. Have a great weekend on payday Friday.
Love it.
Yep.
But that 2017 defense, Bryce Callahan was a big part of that.
Sure he was.
He's a big part of that. There's a reason, like, At the start of last season, Bryce Callahan was like the 26th highest paid cornerback in the league. Now, I know that's not going to steal any headline on ESPN, but you got to remember, there's 32 teams in this league. But Bryce Callahan walked into a really nice payday because of what he had put together for the previous 3 years, but more specifically in 2017, where he had multiple interceptions and was played 12 out of 16 games. But look, if we can get this guy, if this guy stays healthy, Bryce Callahan, now he's never done it for his career. He's never played 16. But if...
Goal! Goal, 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 goal!
No, 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 no,
no! McKinnon!
Oh, I love it.
Was it McKinnon?
It, was it Nathan? I didn't see
it. I don't know. I could barely see the back of his jersey, but it was a sweet, sweet... Bad puck handling there by the Coyotes, and I can't see. It looks like
yes,
McKinnon.
It was Nathan McKinnon. Yeah. Yes, it was. Who did not have a shot on goal in game one.
Now, I mean, just a flick of the wrist.
Flick of the wrist.
What's her name? I mean, what's his name?
Who?
The goalie.
Darcy,
yeah.
So
right,
what's her name?
Right by Darcy.
Darcy,
yeah, I mean, he didn't know what happened right there. That thing was so quick.
So it took 54 minutes for goal number one in game one. It takes 4 minutes for goal number one in game two.
Great pass.
I didn't see who
had the pass right there, but really a great pass. Mm-hmm. Nice teamwork right there. And that's a great fact. I was watching that and the pass from, didn't see who it was from, but McKinnon lasers it by Darcy.
Love it.
Now, this is what you want to do against a team like the Coyotes.
That's right. Hit them in the mouth early.
Right, because they want to muck it up. They want to play the dirty game. They want to play it, make it grimy, and then hopefully they can get a lucky one, right? That's all they're trying to do. They're not trying to push the action. They're just trying to make it muddy. But when you get on up on them early, now there goes their game plan.
Yeah.
Follow me?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, and they just simply do not have the offense to keep up with the Avs. They just don't. That's the facts. They don't. So, look, this is, picture perfect. And I'd like to tell you that I did see it coming. I'm on him for the series. I'm on him for the game.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why didn't you share
Because when I don't get it right, you let me know about it, and then you tell our audience about it.
Yeah, so? It's okay. We have fun with it.
Hey, I'll say this about Nathan MacKinnon. I mentioned that he didn't have a shot on goal in the first game. He wound up with two assists. So that's part of story, too. Nathan MacKinnon putting together a really nice postseason.
Yeah.
If he's not doing one thing, he's doing the other. So
I love it. I love it. And they're attacking right now.
Yes, they are.
They are firing on Darcy.
Darcy Kuemper.
No, but you're spot on with Callahan here. This guy, it could be a big piece now. And we also got to remember, he's highly incentivized because they reworked his contract.
Look at you.
Right? Yeah.
On a Friday.
I took a deep breath, and I just really tried to take it slow and not rush through it.
And you were golfing yesterday, and the days after you go golfing, I expect nothing from you.
Really?
That's right.
Really?
That's right.
Made an eagle yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, on 145 out on the edge of a cliff.
An eagle. That's 2 under par.
That's right. Woo. One better than a birdie. Mm. Second shot, par 4. Tough hole.
Pretty
on the edge of a cliff.
On the edge of a cliff.
That's where I was, pretty much.
Are you being dramatic? You were on the edge of a cliff yesterday making an eagle?
Pretty much. I mean, if I fall down, about 4 inches from my ball going down the cliff, and I'm standing really on one leg, I got to fire the core so I don't fall off with my swing. And if I do, I tumble down, 15, 20 feet. That's not really a cliff, a bluff.
There you go.
But you go tumbling down. I mean, I was impressed with myself
dramatic.
It was really lucky. Didn't play well, though. Didn't make an eagle. Didn't make a birdie, but didn't play well overall. Had a lot of opportunities I missed, so not happy with myself. But anyway, where were we?
Bryce Callahan incentivized.
Incentivized, that's right.
They reworked his contract.
Yes, they reworked his contract, right? He's got incentives in that contract now, and his guaranteed money's done after this year.
That's right.
This is it.
That's right.
So if you want to continue your NFL career, you got to play football this year. You can't have two back-to-back years where you're injured. And so he knows what's at stake, and if he plays and plays well, he's going to make some nice chunk of change this year in incentives.
Yeah. Yep.
So he's highly incentivized.
And you want to know what else, though? If Bryce Callahan is healthy and out there for the Denver Broncos, the pressure is off others, right? Because if Bryce Callahan's not ready to go, who's now the pressure on? It's on Michael O.J. Moody. It's on Isaac Yiadom. It's on Duke Dawson. It's on Devontae Bosby. Unproven
guys. One of them's
going
to have to step up, though.
Which, sure. But
One of them is.
But not two of them.
Correct.
So you start digging deep enough in that clearance rack, you don't always like what you see. But if Bryce Callahan is ready to go and making plays, he and A.J. Boye are the starting cornerbacks. Your third corner is now up for grabs, not your second and your third.
Yes.
So I think as far as the news.
Does this change your tune when it comes to the cornerback position as a whole right now? Because you've been very pessimistic about it. I've been very optimistic about it.
You have. Unfoundedly optimistic, I would say, you.
No, it's not.
Because you couldn't really point to any one guy when I asked you.
But I like the group. I'm not pointing to one guy. I like the group, but I think somebody will emerge from that group to be the guy and do a good job. I'm not saying being an all-pro, but I think somebody will emerge to be the guy and be a solid contributor and surprise some people.
Well, I hoped you were right.
I know you did.
I just don't like hope as a strategy. Like, one of these guys is going to work. I don't like that strategy. But you have been optimistic. And, yes, to answer your question, as far as the news goes on today, Friday, August 11th, yes, I am. Yes, I am a little bit more.
I caught that one.
Yes, I am a little bit more optimistic about the group. Because when Bryce Callahan's healthy, he's a fine pro. He is a fine pro. He's not an all pro, but he is a starter in this league.
That's right. And he'll be a contributor. And I think when you look at the makeup of this team, it's kind of like it was in Chicago. Get after the quarterback. Put some pressure on the quarterback with Mack and Leonard Floyd and
Akeem Hicks.
Yes.
And
make
all
that quarterback
boys.
Throw the ball early.
Yes.
And make plays. That's what they did in Chicago that year he was there, and Vic Fangio was a coordinator. And that's a recipe here. So, he look, if he's healthy, he'll help the Broncos out.
Yeah. Well, I have a little pep in my step today because of that news. So, look, we're going to hear from Vic. We're going to hear from Kareem Jackson. Apparently, offense looks pretty good. Apparently, the offense looks pretty good.
I like that. That's good news.
Typically,
good
day news. One of training camp, that's not what it is.
Right.
Especially with no offseason. Now, I don't know great news about the offense or not great news about the defense.
Yeah.
Just one day.
It's one day. And it's like you said, it's one day. But that's encouraging to know that they look good. Now, they've been doing some things out there leading up to it. So it's not like they're just arrived and this is their first true practice. They've been going now for a couple weeks out there on the football field and doing walkthroughs and doing those types of things. So it's not really truly day one.
It's not truly day one, but yet it is.
Let me think about that one.
Both things are true. Have I ever said that here? That both things can be true at the same time?
Once, twice, or a million times.
It's not your first day, but it kind of is. So, and Vic sort of said that. I was on the call with Vic at 11:15.
Oh, did you get some questions in?
No, I did not want to ask a question out of respect for the people that were at practice.
Because look at you trying to be respectful.
I'm Mr. Respectful.
You just give yourself a nickname?
That's right.
Mr. Respectful.
I wear a cape. It says big R on the back.
Hey, Bearcat. Bearcat chiming in. Bearcat Jim. Got to give him a shout out on a Friday.
Who gets more shout outs than Bearcat Jim?
He said, do you see the text?
I did see the text.
He was on the cliff. Thank you, Bearcat.
There's a cliff. It's a first ever 15-foot cliff.
30, maybe 30, 40.
Training camp 2020, locked and loaded.
Eagle, baby.
We'll be breaking it all down thanks to our friends at Pro Green Denver, Synthetic Turf Systems. Check out all of our training camp content at 1043thefan.com/camp. Vic Fangio speaking to the media today, and he revealed something that has me feeling better about my prediction to you earlier this week. I'll tell you what it is next. Going into the break, I told you that I'm feeling a little bit more confident on a prediction that I made earlier in the week. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
Well, you make about five or six predictions a day, and we don't usually hear about the ones that you're wrong on, only
Stop.
The ones that you feel good about. So I don't know, Zach. One of the, you know, probably this week, one of the 30 that you've made. So
touche.
What is it? No, what is it?
This is Vic Fangio talking about DeMar Dotson.
Well, right now, you know, we just got to get familiar with him. You know, he's obviously behind as far as learning our offense. You know, he had none of the off-season virtual meetings. Today was his first day here with us. You know, actually yesterday was. So we got to get him caught up so he's known what to do so we can see how good he is and where he might fit, you know. But certainly he has the license and the permit to win a starting job if he can. But, you know, that remains to be seen. We got to find out. It's going to take us a little while here to find out exactly where he's at.
He's got a license.
And a permit.
And a permit. How about that? Look at Vic.
Hey,
it's not mental and emotional. It's license and permit.
Vic's
got it all. Love it. Love it.
How about that? Is that along the lines of what you were expecting to hear? Because what I hear Vic saying is that there's an open competition. That's going to happen.
That's not what I'm hearing. I'm hearing, look, if he shows that he can play and is better than Elijah Wilkinson, then he'll be the starter. But I don't know if there's going to be a true competition where they're rotating 50% Elijah Wilkinson, 50% DeMar Dotson. That's not really what I took it as. But who knows? That's the thing. If he's playing well and they like what they see from him, I'm sure they'll open the thing up and they'll start rotating those guys and giving each guy the same number of reps. But it's all about what they see, I think, moving forward and what he looks like when he starts cranking it up, whenever that is. Right now, he's just got in the building. He's got to learn the offense, got to learn sure. you know, all those types of things. And then, like Vic said, you throw him out there, you see what he looks like. And if he's playing well and they like what they see, and Elijah's maybe not playing as well, then, yeah, I think at that point they'll
That's what we just saw on our television here in the American Financing Studios is why you need to capitalize on the opportunities that you had 2.5 minutes ago with a wide open net.
Just couldn't get the stick on it.
Couldn't get the stick on it. And now Arizona comes down with 3 minutes left in the first period of game two and ties the game on a rebound.
Looks like we almost knocked it in.
Exactly what happened.
We did.
Own goal.
Yep.
Own goal off a muddied opportunity of a one-timer that created a rebound
49.
And two AV sticks colliding,
right.
Going for the same puck, knocked it in behind Grubauer.
Yeah, and I was going to say here, Arizona looks like a much different hockey team than they did a couple nights ago.
I'd be willing to bet they already have more shots on goal here in this first period than the first two periods combined in game one.
Yep, they're attacking. They're getting shots on the goal. They look like a much, much different team than they were a couple days ago.
Ten shots on goal already in the first period with time remaining from Arizona.
Yeah.
Whoa. They went 10 minutes in the first period without a single shot on goal in game one.
Different game. So we'll see. 1-1.
Okay. All right, we'll keep an eye on it.
But I just think overall when you look at that situation, DeMar Dotson's got to get up to speed with the offense. They got to take a look at him. And then if everything kind of points in that direction, I think they're not set with Elijah Wilkinson being the right tackle.
No.
If things working out where they like what they see with Dotson and they don't like what they see with Wilkinson, then, I mean, they'll go with DeMar Dotson. It's not like they're invested that much in Elijah Wilkinson where he's got to be the starter.
In a best-case scenario for the Broncos, is DeMar Dotson the veteran starter with Elijah Wilkinson back in his role as a swing tackle, being able to play on both sides, being able to play guard? DeMar Dotson does one thing.
No. The best for the Denver Broncos is Elijah Wilkinson starts a right tackle every game.
I don't agree with that.
You look confused.
No, I'm not confused. I'm
really confused.
No, I'm letting what you said marinate for a second.
That took a long time.
No, I think that...
Processing it that fast today. Really slow processing for you.
I think that the versatility of Elijah Wilkinson serves the Broncos better as a backup. Because DeMar Dotson is a one-trick pony. And I'm not trying to minimize him. He's been a starting tackle in the slate for 106 games, 130 games played. But he's a right tackle.
That's true.
And he's a forward in basketball. But when he plays right tackle, he just does one thing. Elijah, and by the way, we have to remember the umbrella over this right tackle competition is that Juwan James is coming back next year. So it's not like Elijah Wilkinson is the right tackle of the future for the Denver Broncos.
Could be. Juwan James could be the left tackle. I've already went over that scenario with
well,
you.
And it makes sense. I have to use my imagination a little bit more for that one, though.
I got you. I know what you're saying about having Elijah Wilkinson and his versatility as being, you know, hey, if he's not the starting right tackle, now if something goes down with Bowles, look, boom, you move over the left side, we're good to go, and we got Dotson at the right side. If we need a guard, you can play guard for us,
right?
and that versatility is very valuable. But at the same time, I think best case for the Denver Broncos is this young football player plays really good at right tackle, and shows them that he could be the right tackle of the future. And don't use his versatility. We want him to play well. We don't want a backup role player just because he's versatile. We want a guy that's going to play good right tackle for us and hopefully solidify that spot for years to come, and he has that opportunity. And that's what I'm looking at.
Both of those scenarios are pretty good. Like, we're talking about two pretty good scenarios here. Like, if Elijah Wilkinson is competent enough to start every game at right tackle, that's good for the Broncos.
Yes, that's right.
If they see enough positive things from DeMar Dotson to unseat Elijah Wilkinson and have him start at right tackle and have Elijah Wilkinson's versatility as in a reserve role, that's a pretty good scenario for the Broncos as well. So,
yes,
it's the picture of the offensive line is coming into more clear of a focus here today.
Yeah. Both of those would be good situations. And now the Avs of Coyotes are on a power play.
Yep, not good. not good.
You know, Avs had a chance there. They were up 1-0 and on the power play. It wasn't a great power play, but had a couple opportunities there and didn't take advantage of it. So 1-1 with Coyotes on a power play and looking like a much, much different team than they did the other day. A lot
more aggressive. Yes. Yeah, there's a pep in their step. Someone on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043, says Dotson is actually not an ideal right tackle because he's not a good run blocker, but he's a solid pass blocker. Well, I'll trust Mike Munchak for that. I'll trust, and I know that has been a bit of a storyline about DeMar Dotson.
Well, I mean, Tyler was saying that, and Tyler was like pumping him up, but he also was saying, well, I don't think he's a very good run blocker because he's a little bit stiffer now, getting a little bit older, and I'm like, half of playing good offensive line is you got to be able to run block. But he just was throwing that out the window. Like, forget about the run block, just as long as he can pass protect.
Yeah.
Like, Tyler, wait, what? You got to be able to do both. I mean, that's pretty important, run blocking is. And he just overlooked that. He's like, don't worry about that, just as long as he can pass protect. We'll see. We'll see what he looks like. Obviously, he's getting a little bit older. How much does he have left in the tank? And this could be one of those things where it's one of those situations where a veteran player moves teams and he actually finds a fountain of youth for a year.
Yeah.
Or so, and just kind of re-energizes him.
He's not 38. He's not 39. He's 34.
No, right. And we don't need him to play.
He doesn't need to be Ryan Ramczyk. Yeah, right.
Look, we need one good year.
Right.
One good year. Solid year.
Yep. Someone says, I'm flabbergasted. We're just conceding the left tackle spot to Bowles. I'm not sure that the Broncos are.
Bowles. It's Bowlesies. It's Bowlesies. I don't think there's a doubt about it. I mean,
there's no doubt about it.
Who else?
Elijah.
No. He's going
to Don't forget the original plan was to have a battle at left tackle.
No,
Elijah Wilkinson and Garrett Bowles.
Plans changed. Juwan James changed that plan. So now,
but does DeMar Dotson and his permit and his license coming to Denver put that back in play? No. I don't think that's the craziest thought in the world.
Not enough time. Not enough time for him to get up to speed and for the coaching staff to say, okay, you're our right tackle. Now we're going to open this competition back up on the left side. Just not enough time for that. And I think they want to have Elijah at one position and say, hey, you're going to be our right tackle. See if you can hold down this position. Bowles, we know what we're going to get from Bowles, and hopefully it's a little bit better this year, but we know he can be serviceable, and hopefully he'll play a little bit better this year. I just think that's how it's got to shake out. Just not enough time to, wait for DeMar Dotson to get up to speed, take enough of a look at him to make the switch and have Elijah go to the left side.
That's something that I'm going to need you to
I will.
Look out for on Monday, because you're going to have boots on the ground. Darren McKee, who was out there today, he's going to join us a little bit later in the show, about an hour from now.
So you want me to see the right tackle situation?
I want to see.
I wonder if DeMar Dotson is going to be going at that point.
I think by that, on Monday, he should be out there. I think he should be out there.
Doing something.
And just monitor the left side for me.
Monitor the left side.
I need you to monitor the whole thing.
Yeah.
But the left side, is it just Bowles and nothing but Bowles, so help me God? Is that what it is?
Yeah. That's what it's going to be.
Okay, well, keep your eye out.
I'll keep my eye on it, but I'm just telling you right now, that's the way it's going to be.
This is Vic Fangio from earlier today and seeing Bradley Chubb back out on the practice field.
Yeah, it's been great to see Bradley, and he was able to take part in some of the earlier work also, and I think he's progressing fine, looks good, and we're expecting him to be totally healed and ready to go from his injury, but like where he's at physically and mentally.
I thought he was going to slip in emotionally, swear to God.
I thought he
was going to shoehorn one right in there.
Just, he had time.
He did.
It was the perfect setup.
Right.
I mean, that's your go-to. That's your fastball, right? I mean, it's a 3-2 count. I'm going to my go-to, my heater. That's Vic. You drop the ball, Vic. Come on, Vic.
You got to
put that in there. That's good news, though. That's kind of what we expected for Bradley Chubb, for him to be healthy and ready to go game one, hopefully. And so build up towards that. Have a plan in place, which they do, and build up and get that guy ready to go for the Titans.
This is Vic Fangio on seeing Bryce Callahan out at practice.
Callahan had a good day today. in his first action back. He actually did have one day of the earlier practice. And, you know, I haven't watched the whole tape of practice, but he did make some plays out there today. And it's good to see him out there moving around. His foot feels fine. He's confident and ready to go.
Good news.
Yeah.
Good news.
Really good news. Like we talked about earlier, having a healthy Bryce Callahan is a big deal for this defense. And they certainly could use his experience and his versatility. You know, Vic talked about him playing outside, and we know that he can play inside in the slot. So having him healthy is a big deal for this defense. So that's a big positive.
It's
right
a
now.
Big positive for right now. Now you got to do it day after day, but for as far as we go on a Friday, it's good news when it relates to Bryce Callahan. A year late, but we got to take what we can get here. This is Vic Fangio. Hey, what's your impression of Jerry Jeudy?
Good. Jerry's come in here, you know, and he's got a good polish as receivers go, comparing him to other rookie receivers coming out of college. He runs good routes. He's got good change of direction, good hands, and it's nice to see him make a couple plays today.
Made a couple plays. Vic's being complimentary of a rookie. Day one of, you know, a padded practice. You know, Vic can be slow with his...
kind of depends
enthusiasm.
On who you are. Sometimes, you know, he always talked great about Cortland Sutton and other guys. He was more.
But Sutton
hesitant.
Wasn't a rookie.
That's true.
He was coming off a 700-yard season with Case Keenum.
That's true. But you know, other guys, it seems like he wants to, you know, push their buttons a little bit more. Other guys, he wants to praise a little bit more. I don't know. It just seems like that's the way he likes to go about it.
I was almost expecting. Because there's been so much hype around Jeudy, because he's the first-round pick, I was almost expecting Vic to pour some cool water on that.
The Drew Lock approach?
The Drew Lock approach.
Right.
Like, praise him for something, but simultaneously saying that, hey, you know, he's like a pitcher that can just throw a fastball.
Right.
He's got to learn to be a pitcher. So you're complimenting him that he's got, you know, great arm, but you need to learn how to use it.
That's right.
Just because I go to Home Depot doesn't make me a carpenter.
Yes.
Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
how could I forget it? It's a classic.
It's a classic. So, but you're hearing and we're learning that Jerry Jeudy, day one, was out there making plays.
Doesn't surprise me. Guy's a really good football player. He works his tail off, and he's a great route runner. And but that's good news. That's good news. Him and Drew Lock, you know, if they can get on the same page early on, I mean, that'd make a big difference with his offense.
Where are you personally? This is a big, broad question. You played the wide receiver position. You did it for a decade and a half. When it comes to anticipation for watching an incoming rookie, where does Jerry Jeudy stack up for anyone that you've ever seen?
At the top of the list for me, you know, especially because it's here. He was my favorite receiver the whole time. Never thought he would get here. Never thought he would be here. And available for the Broncos to select at 15. There's an open spot there. And it's just a perfect match for him to go out and have a spectacular year. The only hiccup is the no offseason stuff, right? That throws a wrench into the whole thing a little bit, just a little bit. But I think he can overcome that, and I think he'll surprise some people. I think the hype around Judy's, you know, a lot of people love Jeudy, and the hype's there. National attention's got played at Alabama.
Yep. You can't get more hype than Jeudy.
So, but yeah, no, my expectations are, as high as, you know, I remember seeing my first year here in Denver, Brandon Marshall, but he was going into his second year at that time, but didn't do a whole lot his rookie year.
Right.
But those expectations were like, okay, man, this kid's going to be great. He's got to be great. You know, can he translate it to the football field? And he did it. So Jeudy, yeah, he should have a great, great year. What's that over under on yards?
I think it was like in the mid 740. I think it was right around there.
Might have to take a look at that.
You think he goes over that? Out the gate, no offseason.
Yeah, I do.
Man, I'm so excited to watch this kid.
If he stays healthy, I do think he goes over that number.
Jerry Jeudy is simply the most hyped wide-receiving rookie in the history of the Denver Broncos. He's your first-round pick. in the top half of the first round. He comes from a blue blood program in Alabama. He's won big. He is being talked about by nearly every other national pundit when it comes to anticipation. It was the most hyped wide receiver class ever. And many expected Judy to go number one in that class. Now, the Raiders might have screwed it up. We'll see. We'll see. We'll have to track Henry Ruggs, and that'll be something that we'll probably always do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's those two guys, and, you know, the Raiders selected Ruggs over Judy. They had their choice. They could add anybody. They could add CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
They could add anybody. They went with Henry Ruggs. So that'll be something that we'll definitely track. I mean, that could be just a thank you card every draft to the Raiders. Send one.
Could you imagine?
Thank you, Oakland, for not selecting Jerry Jeudy. And I think that's what it's going to be.
Can't wait, man. Can't wait. This is Vic Fangio on balancing starter reps with backup reps.
Yeah, it's a balance that we've got to be conscious of the entire time, and everything's squeezed up. You know, I told the players last night, normally in training camp, we have 41 days from the first day of training camp till the game week preparation of your first game. This year it's 23 days, I believe. And
wow.
Six of those are days off, so we've got to get it done quickly and make good decisions in all those areas that you're alluding to.
The emphasis on these practices, and I don't think I'm being hyperbolic here, the emphasis on these training camp practices.
The hyper what?
Hyperbolic, over-exaggerating.
Hyperbolic chamber? To go on one of those.
You just step in, there's just like exaggerations everywhere?
Yeah, exactly.
My God.
You get some oxygen and you're good.
I don't think I'm over-exaggerating or using hyperbole when I say that these training camp practices may be the most important in NFL history. Because you have no preseason games. What's 45 days is now 26 days. Six of those are off days. So you have just a short amount of time to get great work in an era where you can't have two-a-days.
That's like, right.
These guys, Stoke, I heard Vic say this earlier. Today's practice is limited to just 2 hours. That's it. Start to finish. 2 hours. This is not your days in Baltimore. This is not your days in Indianapolis. This is a two-hour practice that goes down to 90 minutes. Here over the weekend, and then they build back up in 15-minute increments. It's a little bit different,
and they'll be able to negotiate it. They'll be able to have a walkthrough, I think, though, also possibly, right. So which helps. You know,
sure.
You can't have the two-a-days, but you can go do your practice, go inside and watch the film, and then try to correct the mistakes and eat lunch and work out all that stuff. Then you go back out in the afternoon and have your little walkthrough,
mental reps.
Yeah, but which is good. It's good. It's good. I mean, that certainly helps, but certainly it's not the same. And you're right. Not a lot of time. Not a lot of time at all. You can't have any missed opportunities when it comes to bad practices,
right,
and not showing up.
Right.
You always have those things. Training camp gets long. It gets old. These guys have been there now for, you know, a few weeks, and it just kind of starts like, oh, my. And you have no kind of preseason games are always usually good because it gives you a break from camp.
Sure.
Right. Well, we got to travel to San Francisco. Oh, okay. Well, you got to have a travel day. You get there, you
perfect.
Know, the day of the game.
Yeah.
You just kind of relax. And, oh, if you're a starter, I'm not even playing in this game. So it's kind of like a day and a half, 2 days off. You fly back the next day. You watch film, do a little workout. So you get like 2.5 days off. That's a nice little break that you have in training camp, having those preseason games. And you don't get that this year. So it's the same stuff over and over. And it just be, you can get in that routine. It's just like, oh. We're doing the same thing again today.
Right.
You know, you don't have that break to get away from it. So, but you can't have those. You can't have missed opportunities. You just don't have enough of them.
Nope. Need great practices. Need to practice great.
Yep.
Where's Vance when you need him? All right. What is Vic Fangio looking for Noah Fant to accomplish in year number two?
Ooh.
We'll hear from him next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.